They did a great job. Benji finishing it up there. Tremendous. Thank you for staying with us. We will not be long. We will get out here by 12:30, and thank you for being here. And then I hope you'll be with us next week as we share our theme for 2025. Hard to believe that 2025 is here, actually, to believe it, to be honest. But we have a theme, and it's very specific. We don't just come up with, you know, our themes, we don't just come up with cute little thoughts or some little phrase. It's specific to what something in our church we want to accomplish or we want to focus on. And so I hope that you will be here with us next week. Fresh Start Sunday as well. Good to start church, the new year in church. We're going to be looking at this chapter here. I want to share a thought. If most people had the choice, they would rather be a boss than an employee, right? Because they would rather be in charge. The problem with that is most people don't have the capabilities to be in charge, right? I looked at some statistics of new businesses. 20% of new businesses fail within the first year. 50% fail within 5 years. Within 10 years, 65% fail. When I looked at the reasons they fail, really all of it go back to the person who started it in one way or another. It just wasn't really, it wasn't really for them. They just felt they wanted the position, but they didn't understand what it took to keep a business going. And I'm going to share that thought a little bit with us this morning as we look at the story. I love this story. It's an obscure story here mentioned in the Old Testament. This man here comes and does something miraculous, and he's only referred to as the man of God. This story occurs not long after the kingdom split. After Solomon had died, Solomon was really bad towards the end of his reign. A lot of us don't really understand how bad he was. And so his son took over, and his son got bad counsel from his friends and also was of God. And so the kingdom split. Solomon and David and Judah and them, they got two tribes. And then the northern kingdom got 10 tribes. The northern kingdom was the bad kingdom. Now, Judah wasn't great, but there were times that Judah had good kings and did the right thing. The northern kingdom basically never had a good king. They were all bad guys. And so we see this coming, and Jeroboam blew it, and so Rehoboam gets the kingdom. Now, God had came to him and told him it was going to be split and said, listen, if you'll follow me, I'll make the strong kingdom, and your family will rule, and I'll still bless you even though it's a split, and everything will work out for you. But he didn't think that way. He thought like this. There were several major feasts of the Lord that were held in Jerusalem. His thinking as the northern king, if people from my kingdom are going to Jerusalem for those feasts, their hearts are going to turn back to the southern kingdom, and they're not going to follow me as their king, and I'll lose this thing. Now, he didn't need to think like that because God had specifically told him that he would be the king, and if he followed him, things would go well. But you know how it is. We always know better than God, right? And so here's what he does. He decides to make new gods. Makes a calf. I think he made a couple of them. And then he makes new feasts. And he makes these feasts at the same time, roughly, many of them, as the feast of the Lord. In other words, he wanted a replacement religion so that the people's heart would never, they would turn from God and their heart would never turn back to the Lord because they're going to these feasts in Jerusalem. And so that doesn't work out very well. By the way, that, I preached a message years ago on that. That really ticked God off. Several times, as you read through the history of the kings, God refers back to that calf that he made and said, I am still mad about that. Hundreds of years later. God's always upset with false religion. And so he gets this man of God and he says, I want you to go prophesy against that false altar. And so this man of God, he does that. He prophesies and he gives a prophecy, really, of King Josiah is going to come do something and do it. But so he goes and he prophesies against the altar. The altar rips. By the way, you got to appreciate the guy's courage. A king was standing right next to the altar when he preached against it, and it ripped open. And the king raised his hand to call judgment upon him, and God withered his hand up. And then he heals his hand. Now, there's a lot more to this story, and I'm going to get into some of it as we get into it. But I've always thought about it. He never even mentioned who this guy was. He just called him a man of God. Now, I don't know about you. I would like to be called, in God's eyes, to be called, and for you, you're not, if you're a guy, you're either a guy or a lady, that's the options here. A person of God. I would like to God and say, you know, that's one of mine. This is a person that is my side. This is a person that's doing what I want them to do, like this man of God. But referencing back to our illustration there, people want titles sometimes, but they don't want to put in the effort that it takes to get the title, right? So here it is. Do we really want to be people of God? Like this guy was a man of God. You know, if we do, there are responsibilities that would come with that. We want the title. We want the prestige. We want the, you know, we want the package, right? But we don't want the responsibilities. We don't want the requirements. We don't want the sacrifice. We just want the perks. It doesn't work that way. So, looking here at this guy, I want to see some responsibilities that he fulfilled underneath that title of being a man of God. And I think it's things we ought to follow as well. Look at number one in verse one. I think we need to follow the word. Look at verse one. It's very simple. This is something you could look at with all of the prophets. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah. So here he is. He's coming from Judah. He's going to the northern kingdom, the corrupt kingdom. Why did he go? Look at those next words. By the word of the Lord. You know why he was going? Here it is. It's super simple. God said go. And that's pretty much it. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we just preached a whole message on obedience to God. But the prophets did everything they did because they were told to do that by God. Everything you do in your life should be, if you want God's blessing on it, and you want to be a person of God, it should be founded upon God's word. You face decisions? You know how you make decisions? You ought to stop and think, does God speak about this? Is there a direction God wants me to go? Is there anything from his word that I can take or that I have learned that tell me how to make this decision? But most people don't make decisions like that. Most people make decisions based on spur of the moment. They make it based on their emotions, based on what's going on. Or you can even look back to Rehoboam, Solomon's son, bad counsel from his buddies. When the fact of the matter is, we ought to just make the decision that we are going to follow the word of God. We make it so hard. I want to know what God's will is for my life. Here it is. It's in the book. Follow it. You know, well, no, God's got to strike me with a lightning bolt. That sounds painful. I don't want to get struck with a lightning bolt, okay? He's given me his word. Well, I want an angel in my dreams. Well, then eat at night before you go to bed. Okay, God doesn't work that way. God's already told us everything we need to know here. And I know this. This is so simple, and yet most people don't get it, just like the other thing. If I were to do what God tells me to do each and every day, I can guarantee you this. 10 years down the road, I'll be exactly where God wants me to be. See, we want to know what God wants us to do in 10 years, and this ought to be an ouch. We don't want to do what he wants us to do today. We've already deviated. So just follow him today. Amen. And this guy, he got a word, said, you go there. And he goes, okay, I'll go. Do we know anybody in the Bible that God told him to do something and he did the opposite? Jonah. God said, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he goes, you know what? I think Tarshish is a much better place this time of year. He got on the boat. And so we need to follow the word. And that's wrapped up in the last message, so I won't belabor the point. It's wrapped up in obedience, is it not? And so if we want to get people of God, we got to be people of the word. And as you get to the new year, we always promote it to you. Read your Bible this year. If you did not read it last year, I encourage you, get off to a good start. Start it. And I know most, you might, some of you might want to change up your Bible reading schedule because you've never got past Exodus. Right? We get started in Genesis. We're on fire. We get into Leviticus. And then once they start talking about the tabernacle or the offerings, it's like we tap out. Let's not do that. Let's get in our Bibles this year. Let's read through them. I encourage you very, very strongly. You're never going to go anywhere for God apart from his word. Well, you say, Pastor, I come to church, and I'm glad you come, and I'm glad you listen, I'm glad you learn. But that cannot replace your own time in the Bible. Amen. So I encourage you, be a person that says, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to follow your word. But then there's the second part of that. We have to fight the false. We have to fight the false. Look at verse 2. Why did he go there? Verse 2, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord. God had told him he's going to do a little thing here to teach the king. So he told him, go cry against the altar. And he said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. Josiah wasn't born until hundreds of years later. It's amazing that he knew that ahead of time. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall he burn upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. You know what he said? He said, look, I'm going to preach, and this thing's going to split wide open just so God knows that everything I'm telling you will come to pass. You know, that altar represented something, did it not? It really represented rebellion towards the real God. It represented a disobedience to the real God. It represented, like, you don't need to go out of your way to serve God. Let's just make it simple. We'll have this little altar, and every now and then we'll come and we'll offer upon it, and then you can go do what you want as long as you don't serve the real God. But the man of God had to stand up and say, no. That's where we get off in our day. We just don't want to do it. We want to do our own thing. We are not willing to cry out against anything. But can I just tell you something? We can't. If you want to give a criticism to our church when it comes to other churches, and if you give this criticism, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's valid, is sometimes we're a little too pointed. I'll talk about things that are going on in society. When they want to rip kids apart, change their gender when they're young teenagers, that's evil. Oh, that was weak. That's evil. When our school system wants to go after our children and ruin them and give them pornographic books at a young age, that's evil. And I'll say this, the politicians that are doing that, I would hate to be them. They are going to stand before God for that. And you know why our country is a flaming mess? It's because churches don't say this stuff. Pastors don't have enough courage, and the people in their pews don't have enough common sense to say, that stuff going on in our public school system is garbage. I'm not having my kids in there. And so we, they love Jesus, they'll go there. And 5 days a week, they're being taught nonsense. 5 days a week, they're being taught, they're trying to undo everything you're trying to do as a parent. It's just not going to work. Someone's got to say up, those people are evil. You're supposed to pray for your government officials. I do. But I'll just be honest with you. Most of them are just evil people. How's the wind going? They don't care if it's hurting people. When you start going after children, You are on God's super bad side. What did Jesus say? You know, when the mafia wants to get rid of somebody, they give them cement shoes. You know what I'm talking about? Put their feet in cement and say, go ahead, try to swim your way out of this one, buddy. That's a millstone. God said, you mess with children? Millstone, you need to be thrown overboard. And God pity the pastors that don't have enough brains or enough courage to stand up and say something. But, you know, we're just about Jesus. We're not going to be political. I could care less about your politics. We're talking about morality. And it's wrong. And someone's got to say it. You know, it used to be back in our days, back when our country was founded, when something happened or something was going on in society, you know where they went to hear the answers? They went to church. You don't go to Gavin Newsom's house. Okay? He got no clue what he's doing. And so we need to be very careful. If we're going to be right, we have to stand up for what's right. Let's just be silent. Can I just tell you something? Most of the churches in our country are silent, and how is that working for us? How can we be a country that claims to be Christian, that the majority of people in our country claim to be Christian, and our country is pagan? Because they don't know right and wrong. You want to go to a church where during the Christmas time they're going to preach about the Grinch? I'll preach about the Grinch. He got saved. And his life was changed. What are we doing? We're entertaining people. And I'm all for music and I'm all for that. We're not going to entertain you. Someone said we're entertaining the goats when we ought to be feeding the sheep. You know who said that? Charles Spurgeon. That was 150 years ago. So things have not really changed much. But the thing is, we have to be able to stand up for that which is right, and we need to fight that which is wrong. And can I just tell you something? More than that, you need to fight it in your families. You need to fight it for your children. Far too many parents, we just let our children do whatever they want. Well, I just want to keep the peace. You know, we throw an iPad at them, and we let them do what they want. Do you know what's on that iPad? Come on, give them a cell phone. And you know how I feel about that. No teenager should ever have a cell phone. And if you're a parent, you ought to agree for one reason. It's cheaper. If I deal, and I'm thankful, the last few years we're not perfect, but we've had good kids in our school. We haven't had a lot of problems. But whenever we have problems with teenagers or kids in the school, big problems, 95% of it, there's technology behind it. And I know, oh, Pastor, you're a boomer. No, I have all the technology in the world. But my kids didn't need it when they were young. And so you got to get up and fight. Don't let stuff in your home. You got to watch. Watch what they're watching on television. It's not, they're just pushing every woke ideology, and you're turning your backs, and you're not paying attention, and you wonder why our kids look at us funny when we tell them that stuff is wrong. And so we have to stand up and fight. By the way, and when I say fight, I don't mean being mean-spirited, because that doesn't help. But what people have done, what unsaved and what our world will do, well, you're unkind by saying that. Well, if you want to say that, have a good time. I'm still going to say it. Amen. We're not unkind. We're the kind ones. We're telling the truth. And so you got to be willing to fight. As I mentioned, and we'll see it in a minute, the king was standing right next to the altar. He didn't say, the king's not here, now is the time to tell the truth. King was right there and said, he's the one that needs to hear it. Okay, we'll move on. Number three, be willing to face the wrath. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar. I guess he must have been holding on to it. And he pulls it off, says, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up so that he could not pull it again to him. We're men. We like this stuff, right? If you're a guy, these are the stories you like. You know, you like Jesus in the temple kicking over the tables and chasing people out. That's a guy thing. But I like them. But let me say this. If you stand up, people are going to push back. Amen. They are going to push back. Amen. And it'll come from the most unlikely of places. And I'm not saying you go to your families for the holidays and jump up on a table and tell them they're a bunch of pagans. That's not your job. Okay? Well, they don't love me because I love Jesus. No, they don't like you because you're a ninny. Okay? Have a good spirit. But sometimes people know what you believe, they know what you stand for, and they'll push back. But don't let that stop you. He was not happy. If we are to fear anything, you know who we ought to fear? We ought to fear the Lord. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Don't bow the knee to being kind, keeping the peace. That's just words people use to shut you up. It's not unkind to say, hey, look, I disagree, that's wrong. Or I'm sorry, God says that's wrong. That's not being unkind. You know what's being unkind? Knowing the truth and keeping it to yourself. You know, someone says something, look, you'll notice, you'll be in a group of people maybe at work and they'll say something ridiculous and you don't want to argue with them, it's not your place. And then they'll say, don't you agree? Well, now I got to say something because I don't agree, okay? But they'll fight you. Don't let the fact that people are trying to push you off of your place stop you. People stood up. Well, you know, I remember somebody had a tweet like, I was just reading Ezekiel. He never stood up to the kings. And I'm like, read your Bible, bro. John the Baptist. I mean, Herod came by and said, hey, you took your brother's wife. You're not supposed to do that. I don't know who Gavin Newsom is married to. I've never went that far. Come on. You know, what did Elijah tell Ahab? Ahab came and he said, Ahab's like, here comes the guy, it's trouble. He goes, no, you're the trouble in Israel. Okay, I've never been to Sacramento and said that. But we got to stand up. And sometimes people are going to say things. Don't let that stop you. Just be right because that's what the Lord wants. Well, you know, it's okay if you love Jesus. Just don't be crazy about it. Like, what other way is there? You can't do this thing halfway, right? Okay, let's move on. This is going real good today. Number four, and this goes with it too. You ready? Forget the wrongs. It's interesting. His hand gets shriveled because God judges him. Now look what the king says. I mean, like, minutes later, and the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and it became as it was before. You know why he was raising his hand? Now, I don't know for sure, but he was raising his hand for him to get in trouble. And the same guy that was going to get him in trouble now says, can you pray that God restores my hand? Now, this is the parts in the Bible that it's glad I'm not in the Bible. I would have said, no. Pray to the calf. Let's see how that works. Right? He had every reason to be a snotty-nosed brat. And I would have. Because I'm not as good a Christian as him. But you know what he did? He set that aside. He forgot that he was wrong and just treated him the way he should be. Are you with me? I just said we need to fight the fight. We're gonna have people that are going to come after us. And you know how we're supposed to react? Are you ready? Kindly. You know, see, we live in a time, and you know how it is, we're so politically charged in the two sides. And it's like, if you disagree with somebody, they want to shut you out or they hate you or they're going to yell at you. So you know what we do? We yell and hate back. There's nothing good about that. Just because someone disagrees and wants to yell, I don't need to yell. It's like, I just thought we were having a disagreement here. Someone wants to say some things, they don't understand Christianity. It's not going to do any good for you to be mean-spirited to them. That's not going to bring them to Jesus. That's going to push them away. A Christian never has a right to be mean-spirited towards people or unforgiving. Can you imagine if someone came and asked for prayer and it's like, no, you don't deserve it. Well, neither did you. So part of it is being the right kind of person in every single way. Don't, look, here's what happens. If you cannot find it in your heart to forgive somebody, what happens is you become bitter. And let me just explain the lie of bitterness. The lie of bitterness is this. If I am mad at Angel, I can just not forgive him and get bitter towards him, and it'll stop there. It won't. If I can't get it right with him and I get bitterness in my heart towards him, I become a bitter person, and now I'm going to become a bitter person towards every relationship. We've met people, I'm sure, that they can't get along with anybody. They don't want to get along with anybody. They just seem super upset or sad about everything. Okay? A lot of times that's because bitterness has crept in. That can happen to us. And I'm not saying sometimes people do things that, to be honest with you, if we look at it in the flesh, it's like they don't deserve forgiveness. I get it. We don't forgive them necessarily for their sake, although if we can get to there, that's great. We should forgive them for our sake because we're carrying that nonsense. The nonsense I would have towards him, I'm going to bring into my home, to my wife, and to my family, and my children, and my coworkers. I'm bringing it to everybody. And so you ought to be able to forgive people and forget the wrongs. Next, look at verse 7. And the king said unto the man of God, now, oh, his hand is healed. He's in a good mood. You know, he doesn't agree with what he was preaching, but it's like, at least I got my hand back, so. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee reward. Now, I don't know what his motives were, but he's like, come home, you know, refreshing yourself. I'll feed you. We'll have a good time. I'll give you some money, and you'll be on your way. Verse 8, and the man of God said unto the king, if thou will give me half thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. He goes, look, if you offered me half of everything you own, I'm still not going to your place. Now, here's why, verse 9. For it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the way which thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Do you see what he said there? So in other words, here's the point. We got to flee the forbidden. God had told him, said, look, you're going to go do your job. You're not going to eat. You're not going to do anything. Go do your job and come home a certain way. Don't eat. Don't drink. Don't do anything. And the king offers him that which God said was forbidden. And he said, I can't do it. And again, this is part of being a person of God. There are some things that God forbids for us in our life. There are some things the Bible very specifically tells us not to become involved with. The do's and the don'ts. And so we need to be willing to say, if this particular attitude or this particular action or this particular, you know, whatever it is, way of life is contrary or forbidden by the word of God, I will not do it. Well, Pastor, Jesus forgave us for all our sins. Okay. So that doesn't mean we continue to sin. You know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the next two words? God forbid. Let me translate that for you. No way, Jose. No, you don't do that. Okay. Grace is not there as an excuse to sin. It's there for forgiveness when we do sin. And it also gives us the power not to do all those things. But that's not a good excuse to do that. Because you can do that, and if you are saved, you'll still be saved, but here's the problem. You'll suffer the consequences. God forbids some things because it's not good for us. And when we allow ourselves to partake of those things, we're doing that which is not good for us. Quickly, I want to finish here. Now, we also need to forsake the lies. Now, here's the part of the story we didn't read. There was an old prophet that lived in the area. Apparently, he was not very effective because God didn't call him. He called somebody from another place to come. And he hears everything that's going on, and he's like, wow, I want this guy to come eat at my house. But remember, could he stop and eat? No, he had to go straight home. So look at verse 18. I think I alluded to this in another message. And he said unto him, okay, here we go. I am a prophet also as thou art. And the angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back into thine house that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. You get that? He says, I can't do this. He goes, no, you don't understand. An angel spoke to me and told me it's okay. He shouldn't have listened. He didn't need to figure out it was a lie. Understand this, God had already spoken. It didn't matter what this guy said. God, look, who am I going to listen to? God or somebody else? And he believed the lie, and he goes home with this guy. And it's going to have very dire consequences. What's the point here? Don't listen to anything over the word of God. By the way, whenever someone tells you something that you say, I don't really do that. Oh, why not? Because, I'm a Christian too. Stop them right there. There's a lie coming. If they're a Christian, look, if I'm with somebody, I'm like, hey, you want to do this? Oh, that's just something I don't do. I would shut, even if it's something that's like, something that's not wrong, usually that's what it is. I'm not going to argue with them. I'm like, okay. That's what they want. But you ever notice how those that want lesser living try to pull others down? Be very careful about that. Don't ever excuse something because, well, so-and-so is a Christian and they do this. What does the Bible say? Is that something that's in Scripture? That's our delineation right there. Not what people say, what does the Word say? If God spoke on it, it's settled. Don't let anybody lie to you. And then lastly, and this ought to keep us going here, fear the fall. Fear the fall. Look at verse 23. God could have just understood that this guy lied to him and he was a prophet too. That's not how it works. God already spoke. Verse 28:3. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. He fed him, and he's like, all right, time for you to leave. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by, the lion also stood by. God wasn't having it. He was judged harshly. You say, that's harsh, Pastor. He had just stood up before the king and said, I can't do this. God told me not to do this. And now we went and did it. What do you think the king would have thought? See, God takes stuff. I'm not saying God, if you disobey God, there's a lion out there. No, there's not. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if we get, as Christians, if we get into the habit of not doing the things we know we're supposed to do, the fall is coming. The fall's coming. Because we're living disobedient lives. And remember, as we've mentioned, blessing comes through obedience. So a lack of blessing and judgment would come through a lack of obedience or disobedience. And so we should fear that. You ought to fear, as a Christian, one of the things I feared early on, it's like, Lord, I never want to get away from serving you. I just don't want that. Once I started and I started down the path, I'm like, Lord, I want this. This is for my life. This is for serious. For serious. I don't even know if that's a good word. This is for serious, bro. This is for reals. Okay. And I hope that's true for us. And so what's the point this afternoon? Do we want to be people of God? Well, there's some requirements to that. And I hope that we're willing to follow the Lord and do that. Let's stand, if we may, this afternoon. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. I hope, and I would assume by the fact that you're at church that there's something there. You want to be something, somewhat closer to God, somewhat a person of God, and we grow in that. But are we willing to do what it takes? And I know I was kind of all over the map, and hopefully God spoke to you about one of these areas. Are we willing to follow the word? That's a simple one. Are we willing to fight that which is false? Will we face the wrath of people that don't understand? You know, we'll forsake the lies. We'll fear falling. And so often, people that do that, you know where he catches us up? He catches us in relationships. You know, we won't forgive others. Piano is going to play this morning, this afternoon. If God spoke to you at all, why don't you come?